Do you want a drink?
Yeah, sure. White Russian.
There's a special rung in hell reserved for people who waste good scotch.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Try the wine.
You slip me a bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
It comes in pints?
Oh, I'm getting one.
I drink, and I know things.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Ruminations podcast. This is Steve here with Chris for this episode. Since we are recording on April 14th, we want to talk about the two big cultural, tentpole franchises that are coming to an end this month, with the first one being Game of Thrones. The first episode premieres tonight, and then another week and a half, the second Infinity Wars movie comes out.
Endgame.
Which is called Endgame. So for the first half of this episode, we want to talk about Game of Thrones, and then the latter half, we will talk about the Avengers and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So, you watched Game of Thrones from the very beginning?
No. I heard about Game of Thrones, obviously. It came out on TV, and I remember seeing, I think, a scene when I was at school, because they had HBO, and I knew one of my friends had read the books, and I don't know, I think it was spoiled for me that Ned lost his head.
Okay.
Because that's when the joke started that Sean Bean dies in every movie. So I think it was around the time of the second season I bought the first book, and it took me like a year and a half to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I had finished it and then was able to watch the first two seasons by the time season 3 came out. So season 3 was the first season that I watched
live,
week to week. So that was 2013.
So you saw The Red Wedding live.
Yeah. So I saw The Red Wedding live. I tried to get you to watch Game of Thrones.
So initially, because I'm stubborn, I didn't want to watch Game of Thrones because I love Lord of the Rings. And
we had
a whole debate about this. Obviously, it looks very much like Lord of the Rings. So I felt threatened by it. It's like, oh, I don't want, like this can't challenge Middle Earth. So I was kind of very...
obstinate.
Yeah, obstinate about watching it. And then you showed me the first episode, and I really liked it. And then I think we watched the second episode, and I was like pretty much hooked.
Yeah.
And this was at the third season had fully come out.
Yeah.
And I want to say I didn't know any spoilers. I don't think I knew Ned died. I without a doubt didn't know about the Red Wedding.
No.
And the reason I know that is because, after watching maybe the first season of the show, because if you've listened to the Disney podcast, I love villains, so I love the Lannisters, and one of our other friends, I guess, identified as a Targaryen, so I think Steve was going to see him at some point, and I said, I didn't know anything, and I said to him, tell the Targaryen that the Lannister sends his regards.
And I almost fell over.
Yeah, I had no clue about the Red Wedding. I didn't know that was a line or anything. Like, and you just stared at me.
I was like, have you heard anything?
Yeah, you're like, did you hear anything? I'm like, no. I didn't understand why he got so, like upset. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, the first season that I watched live was 4. It was season 4. So I caught up from season 1 to 3.
Yeah, and season 4 was when I graduated college. So that, I think the first episode I watched not in school was The Mountain and the Viper. And I remember being really, really upset by the end of that episode. We just finished rewatching the show.
The whole show.
Yeah, so we had...
We just made it.
Yeah, so we had started rewatching it last fall, so about a year after the season 7 ended. Like, okay, I guess it's time to get ready for the new season.
And then we kept putting it off.
I think you watched it all. You watched the first few seasons alone.
Yeah, I watched seasons 1 through 5 about a year ago.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to watch 6 and 7, but then I couldn't get them because you didn't have the DVDs, yeah. I didn't have HBO, so then I just stopped. So
then we picked up, I want to say we started with season 2.
Yeah.
And then we watched...
We watched season 1. I watched season 1.
I watched season 1, I think, yeah. last year sometime. But together, we started with season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think we stopped. And then we picked up season 3, I don't know, in February.
Right, and kind of.
And we...
That's all we've been doing is watching Game of Thrones.
Watching Game of Thrones. So, the day of the premiere, we're finally sitting down to talk about it.
And the whole day I've been stressed out about what's in store for this season.
Yeah, so I don't want to really speculate because there's no way of really knowing and right, to make predictions about things.
I agree.
I just want to say two trends that I've noticed from rewatching the show, getting a sense of the showrunners and the actors. First and foremost, my prediction, if you want to call it that, is that the Iron Throne is going to be gone. There's going to be some type of democracy or...
I don't know if it's going to be democracy. I don't think the Iron Throne is going to be there either.
Yeah.
They've built up this Iron Throne to way too much for... Like, anyone sitting on that throne will be too conventional for them to keep. So right. I think the Iron Throne is going to be gone.
And then my second point is just... Since the show is now way past Martin's books, since he failed to write book 6...
You mean Martin's fan fiction?
Yes. So, by this season's just given me pause. I mean, without having seen any footage or anything, I'm just wary that it's going to be as great as everyone thinks it will be.
I hope it is.
I hope so, too. Based on rewatching season 7 had some really great moments. Characters finally met one another, some great dialogue, but the writing just seemed a little off. And you could tell there were some modern world sensibilities thrown in.
It felt like being in a... I said it was like being in a dream, and then every once in a while you kind of know you're in a dream because you hear something from the outside world like echoing in.
Yeah.
There's a few parts of the season 7 that were like that. Like Liana Mormont.
Liana Mormont, Ed Sheeran showing up.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran's whole scene is mind-blowing in its absurdity. I'm just nervous that they're going to spend way too much time satisfying fans and not making a good story, mm-hmm. but I could totally be wrong. So that's what I have to say about the new season.
My speculation for this season, I agree. I don't think the Iron Throne's going to be there, or it's no one's sitting on it, or it's going to be a council or something like that. I think the Night King is going to raise up the corpses at Winterfell. And have dead Starks fighting living Starks. And I really want to see that. So maybe the people that have read the book will get their Lady Stoneheart as a little nod.
I don't know what that is. I mean, I do. I read the first 3 books.
Yeah, you listened to the last 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything else. I could see every character dying, to be honest. I have no real prediction. I think... I don't think Jon will die. Because he's already died. I think Daenerys will die. I hope she dies. I don't like Daenerys.
Yeah, she's really not as great as everybody says.
Daenerys is only great because of her dragons. And the dragons are cool, but she's not. So, that's my opinion.
Well, we'll get into... I think our main purpose here is if we want to talk about our favorite characters and a few of our favorite moments. I mean... We're going to spoil things. We've already spoiled some stuff.
Yeah, too bad.
But...
if you're listening to anything about Game of Thrones, too bad.
Yeah, so did you have anything...
Did you want to start the characters?
No, you could start. You seem to have more definitive favorites than me.
So, I like the Lannisters. One of my favorite characters is Cersei, so... She's such a bad person, and she's so good at it that I love her.
We're going to keep it PG.
Exactly. I'm not going to use certain words, but I love her. So when she blows up the Sept in season 6, the just utter look of sincere contentment when she drinks the wine. Oh my god, it's perfect.
Yeah, she's
one of the best characters. Even if you hate her, like you hate her, but she's great.
Let's talk about a grandmaster plan coming to fruition.
The Sept?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's Tywin's daughter. I mean literally she is Tywin's daughter, but if any of the three kids were the spirit had the spirit of Tywin in them, it would be Cersei.
Yeah.
The other two are not.
And the torture that she
She subjects
her enemies to after that.
Right, the Septa nun.
The nun who shamed her during her walk of atonement.
Right, she has the mountain raper.
Yeah, and...
And Ilaria Sand.
Yeah, she...
Makes her daughter die.
Just Lena Headey's just so good at being a bad person.
She really is.
Frankly, just based on the way the story has been told so far, you're supposed to want Cersei to lose, but she kind of took the throne, and I don't know, I feel like she deserves it.
Yeah, if Cersei just stays on the throne, I'll be completely happy.
Yeah.
She's just so good.
And she's had great scenes with most of the actors.
Yeah, especially Tyrion. I think one of my favorite scenes of her is the very last episode when she walks into the dragon pit and she sees Tyrion and she just glares at him from the side of her eye. It's just, it's perfect.
Yeah, if looks can kill, Tyrion would be dead 100 times.
I think the one line that everyone keeps throwing around now is when you play the Game of Thrones, you're win or die. And that's a Cersei line from season one, and she says it to Ned Stark.
Yeah.
I've seen that quoted a lot in, like, newspapers and things like that, so...
Well, she says the title of the show.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
She gets what she wants without being annoying.
Yeah, she's
I mean, she's a bad person, but...
Right, but she's not... I agree, she's not annoying. Where I find Daenerys annoying... Daenerys
has an air about her that
doesn't fit.
Like Jon Snow does not have. He's so.
I mean, Cersei has an air, but
yeah.
But it's a. I don't know if it's the actress themselves or, I don't know what it is. But Daenerys comes across being whiny and demanding, where Cersei comes across as commanding.
Yeah.
And there's, I respect one and I don't respect the other. So.
Yeah, and. Really, like you said, the only reason characters throw themselves at Daenerys is because of her dragons.
Right.
At least subconsciously. I think the show doesn't want you to feel that way, but having rewatched everything, there's really no moment where Daenerys is like, wow, she's...
How she's immune to fire. That's her
right,
only...
Right, but that's... she's magical. It's not her personality that people right. love.
Yeah, like, there's still really no reason why Tyrion... just kind of drops to
or even John
everything
Snow.
To follow her. Yeah, and Jon Snow. Like, I don't know if he bent the knee because he was felt guilty about her dragon dying or what, but...
Yeah, I mean, I also, they're going for the love angle. Like, oh, he bent the knee because he's falling in love with her. But, again, it's love based on...
Dragons. I love your dragon
right,
so
and,
much.
And some people, they don't like Jon Snow. They think he's... dull and boring and that Kit Harington's not good, and I disagree entirely. I think he does a really good job. His character is brooding and kind of sad.
I respect Jon Snow. Like, I think out of any of the main, like, not the tertiary characters, but the main characters, I like, or I should say I respect Ned, I respect Jon, and I'm drawing a blank to anyone else that's pretty mean. Like, everyone else is
conniving,
has bad moments. I think the two of them are pretty decent people.
Well, would you say, like, Davos and Varys are secondary characters?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Kind of, so like, the main ones.
Yeah. I mean, all the Starks are good, it's just varying levels of good.
Right. And the Starks have always been our main characters. Like, they were the first characters we knew, so.
Yeah.
Our perspective has always been a Winterfell perspective.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about it?
Again? Yeah, I've come to really like Sam Tarly. He's not interesting, though, so I don't know if we should talk about him. I think we should talk about Varys or someone like that. Because initially, you don't really know where Varys' loyalties lie. And
I still don't know where Varys' loyalties lie.
Well...
So there's... to get into the book just a little, Varys is backing a different Targaryen.
Yeah.
He's a Blackfyre, I think.
Yeah, I think it's
Aegon Targaryen, who's a bastard of Rhaegar.
Right, but I don't think it's confirmed that he's a bastard, actually related.
I could be very wrong. I think it is.
It is,
okay. But that's only from, like, me watching all these YouTube videos about
Game of Thrones. I didn't read books 4 and 5, so that, I don't know.
So I think in the book he's even less trustworthy, I guess. Mm-hmm. In the show, Varys is, I would say, is sincerely behind Daenerys. But
yeah, I think he's sincerely behind Daenerys, but especially the last season, he sees that
she's a little crazy.
Kind of has some crazy tendencies, and so does Tyrion, and they're...
Right, and I almost want to be like, you didn't notice any of this before you threw everything at her feet?
I mean, I guess compared to what Westeros has, she's different, and she's...
I guess you could say that, you know what, okay, I'll give Daenerys his credit. You could say she didn't have to go and free all the slaves. Like, she marched in the wrong direction for seasons to go free slaves, when she could have marched west to take Westeros.
Right.
So, okay, I'll give her that plus. And that ends
That's
there.
That's kind of where it
That's
ends.
That's kind of where it ends.
Yeah.
I think probably my favorite scene with her is when she's gonna hand over Drogon to the, I think it, they're at Yunkai or Astapor, wherever she gets the Unsullied.
I know. How many times I've seen those seasons,
she hands Drogon over to the guy who gives her the Unsullied, and then she finally speaks Valyrian, and he doesn't know she speaks Valyrian. I love that scene. I like the look on her face. Yeah, I like
that's her best
his
moment.
Look. Like, I'm pro Daenerys in that scene.
Yeah, and I think the other moment that's really good is when she wipes out all the Dothraki lords.
Oh, in season 6.
Yeah, and in whatever their city
Vast
is.
Vast Dothrak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she burns them all alive.
Yeah.
Which she tends to do. She burns a lot of people alive. Yeah. Which is why I kind of...
Definitely your daddy's daughter.
Yeah, we're getting that sense that the characters are kind of living up to their... familial bonds, or Cersei's Tywin lives up to Tywin's name.
And speaking of Tywin is amazing. So I don't know which character is my favorite, but Tywin's definitely up there. Him and Olenna are easily the best, like some of the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
Like, just they always have something to say. Tywin's just commanding.
Yeah, well, any scene that Tywin's in is great, which
he
is why it's after season 4, the show is missing. They're missing Joffrey and they're missing Tywin, and they don't really ever fill it.
Right.
I guess Cersei by the end, Cersei has taken over the Tywin-shaped hole that exists in the show.
Tywin-shaped hole.
But it's still, there's no character like him.
Right. I mean, I guess Olenna's close. But...
Yeah, but she's great. But she doesn't have that imposing presence.
No. No one does.
No.
Who else?
I think Tyrion is... I mean, he's everyone's favorite. But mm-hmm. I think he's... I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. Because his final look at Daenerys and Jon.
Right, you don't know if he's going to betray them, if he's just upset at the romance, if he's jealous, like, there could be a million.
He just seems kind of lost because he realized that Daenerys doesn't listen to him.
Right.
But he's definitely one of the good guys. Like, he has his flaws, certainly. But it's like Varys tells him, like, you're necessary for the end game because you're not your father, you're not your sister.
Yeah, he's definitely not Tywin's child. I mean, he is, again, but
he's, figuratively speaking.
Yeah, figuratively speaking, he's not.
Tyrion has the best lines in the show.
I drink and I know things.
Yeah, which is in our intro.
Yeah.
Look at the fun we're having. And he's also hysterical. There's a lot of humor in the later seasons where Grey Worm and Missandei don't understand what he's talking about, and
when he hits Joffrey a bunch of times. One of my favorite characters is the Hound. And I really can't say much about the Hound because they have to be PG, but the Hound mouths off to everyone and I love it. The things he says to people are great. Like, everything that you ever think about when you're talking to someone, he would say.
Right.
And he has the stature to back it up.
Yeah. I mean, he's done some stupid things over the... Even though he's kind of redeemed himself, he's not a hero yet, but he's on the side of the good.
Right. He's very unpolished. I think he's still a good person.
Yeah, and what everyone's been waiting for is that he is probably going to fight his brother, which was something I guess hinted at in the books.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I don't know. I just remember Get Hype and not knowing what anyone was talking about.
Yeah. I hope they wrap up Melisandre.
Yeah, Melisandre's another character that, I mean, she's done extremely evil things.
She's sincere. I'll give her sincerity.
Yeah.
I mean, she did run away from Stannis, though.
Yeah. At
his biggest hour of need. It's like, oh, the Red Woman's running, was seen riding south to Winterfell. It's like, what? Or to wherever, to the Wall.
Oh, screw loyalty. I hope they clear up her story, because we found out that she's really an old woman and that she doubts her magic, but it clearly works because we got the smoke monster that killed Renly, and
she brought back Jon Snow.
The curse that she used on leeches. All the kings with the leeches from Gendry's blood worked because all the kings are dead. She brought back Jon Snow. So there's... Whether the person she saw in the flames was Stannis or Jon Snow or someone else, or... Like, we don't know. But she's definitely been one of the most interesting characters. I'm not really a fan of the whole burning Shireen aspect of season 5, but it works in terms of the story. I just think it was a little brutal. And by a little, I mean a lot.
What else?
And remember that guy Ramsay? Remember he was on the show for 6 seasons?
He overstayed his welcome.
What was he, 4 seasons he was there?
Did he come in season 3?
Yeah.
So season 3 to
6.
I hate Ramsay. And I don't even hate Ramsay in the sense that he's such an awful person. I didn't find him interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was... I guess he's... I found him subjectively boring. He's objectively interesting, I guess, because of his antics. But he's really not interesting.
He was doing absurd, crazy, psycho things, but the show was relying on him to shock.
Right.
But after a while, he kind of just overstayed his welcome.
And it's like, I'm kind of just tired of this.
Like, now you're just subjecting this... sadism at us, and we're masochists for continuing to watch. And I was satisfied by the Battle of the Bastards in season 6, where Jon Snow finally beat him, because he was it's like you talk about Daenerys having dragons. It's like Ramsay Bolton was a nobody, and he killed
the... He deserves the Iron Throne.
He mutilated Theon. He killed all the people trying to rescue Theon. He wiped out Stannis' army. He killed his family. He almost killed the Starks. It's like...
And he did win the Battle of the Bastards.
Right.
It's more that Littlefinger and the Knights of the Vale came, and he didn't have any knowledge of it, so he couldn't plan for it. But or else he probably would have beat them, too.
Right. It was a crutch for the show to just rely on, oh, Ramsay's going to get away with everything, and I'm thankful that they no longer have to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't wait for him to just exit.
Yeah.
Exit the stage, Ramsay.
Right.
We're done with you.
And his father, Roose Bolton, was more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the actor was more interesting. It was just...
Ramsay Bolton always just looked like a sadistic little hobbit to me. He looked like Frodo's evil twin.
Right, but that's kind of what he was playing as. Yeah. He was this... Because all he was, he just played with people.
Who else? I feel like I'm forgetting someone really big.
I mean, all the characters are great.
Yeah.
But there are only a few that I really don't like. Like, little Lyanna Mormont makes no sense in the world of Game of Thrones. That
right.
All these grizzled warlord... in the north are just, they accept the words of a 10-year-old girl. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
I'm iffy on Arya and Sansa. I don't dislike them, I just don't love them.
Mm-hmm. I like Bran. I like...
Yeah, Bran...
I like his weirdness.
Yeah, Bran's turn
I don't expect an answer to everything, but I do want a little bit of an answer to the Three-Eyed Raven, like a little more than not at all.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get it, but it's tied in with the Night King, so I feel like I might get it.
Yeah. And in the last episode of season 7, when he tells Sam Tarly that I'm the Three-Eyed Raven, and it's one of my favorite lines in the show, Sam just says, oh, I don't know what that is. So.
Yeah, all the Snarks snapped. I mean...
I don't blame
it's understandable,
them.
I guess, but they've all gone crazy.
Yeah.
I'll say the one last speculation I would say I have is that I think Daenerys is going to die, and I think Daenerys will die either with or connected to whatever with Drogon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Viserion, the dragon, the zombie dragon, is gonna kill Drogon. And I think Daenerys is going to die. And I think Jon Snow, because he's really Rhaegar's son, will be able to ride Rhaegal because it's his father's namesake and he's technically a Targaryen. So I think you're going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that one of the dragons is named after her brother is going to... And the fact that he's her brother's son... is gonna, I don't know, something's mm-hmm. gonna happen. So that's my kind of last speculation.
I mean, I think it makes sense. It's just there's no way of...
No, it's really a free-for-all. I really don't know what's gonna happen. I feel like I could see everyone dying, so I don't know.
The White Walkers winning.
I hate the White Walkers.
It's climate change.
Because
it's just
they
inevitable.
Killed Viserion Targaryen. We're gonna transition now to... the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I guess it's this coming week that Avengers Endgame is coming out. So it's the second part to Avengers Infinity War. All the characters are coming back, so everyone needs to calm down. Especially when Marvel releases, like, oh, we have Spider-Man 2 coming out, and we have Black Panther 2 coming... It's like,
right. And
like
you,
come
and
on, guys,
you,
like, let's all calm down
And
here.
You also know the actors' contracts. It's like, okay, so this is going to be the last movie for Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, and last movie as Chris Evans as Captain America, so there's going to be a changing of the guard.
It's going to swap.
Right.
All the dead characters are pretty much going to come back, and probably a lot of the living characters are going to go away. Whether they die or not, I don't know. but
yeah. But like, starting from the beginning of the MCU, what was your first Marvel movie that you ever saw?
I believe I either saw the first Thor or Iron Man first. My initial takeaway when this first started was I didn't like it. I was just like, oh, superheroes are kind of stupid, so I didn't really care enough about it. And then I liked Thor the most because Thor was mythological and it was the most fantasy and least sci-fi out of all the, you know, superheroes. So I connected probably the most with Thor. And then I want to say when the first Avengers came out, I loved the first Avengers. I really liked the first Avengers, and I think at that point they had me a little bit. And then...
Well, you're really related to Loki.
I love Loki, so... I think Loki's my favorite character.
And we made that Photoshop image for you are Loki.
And all our other friends and you were on the other side of the poster.
Yeah.
Then I kind of stopped liking it. I really didn't like Avengers 2, Age of Ultron a lot. At first, and then it was really only till maybe about a year ago when we kind of rewatched all of them. I just loved it. Like I did like a complete 180.
Yeah.
Like it was bipolar, and I really loved all of them. And then once Infinity War came out, I was like full throttle Marvel. Like that's all I needed, my Marvel fix. It's like, I need the next Marvel movie now.
Yeah.
But now it's a year later, so it's like that...
Wore off.
It wore off, so...
I mean, I'm excited to see it. It's just, it's going to be 3 hours. And long for a movie.
Yeah. I want to say the only bad one is The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's in this universe at all. Right.
just saw it recently, right?
Yeah, I had not seen that movie until, I guess, a year ago. I think it has a universal, like, intro.
Yeah,
it does. It's just, like, it doesn't connect at all with any of the other movies.
Right, and it's also, Mark Ruffalo isn't even
He's not the Hulk. I think the only carryover is the general.
Yeah, William Hurt shows up as Secretary of Defense Ross.
I would never remember that.
And,
In Civil War?
Because in Hulk, he plays, like, the Hulk's arch enemy is Thunderbolt Ross. He's a general. All of a sudden, he's now the Secretary of Defense in Civil War. And I think he showed up in another one, too. Was he in Infinity War?
I don't think so.
No, he was at the end.
Was he?
I think so.
I don't remember.
So anyway, I saw the first phase movies in the theaters. So I saw Iron Man. I think I saw it in the theaters. I really liked all of them except Thor. I was kind of iffy on. It didn't live up to its trailer. And Iron Man 2, I was kind of like, okay, it's... I never understood the hate for it, but I also didn't love it.
I want to interject.
Okay.
About Iron Man 2.
All right, because then I'm going to follow it up with saying that the first Avengers, I find flaws with it that everybody loves, but...
So, this is a very unpopular opinion, but out of the three Iron Man movies, I find the first Iron Man completely forgettable. Like, I want to say hours after I watched that movie, I couldn't remember what happened in it. The third one, I don't really hate it. It's just, like, lots of people hate it. It's just irrelevant to me. I like the second one. The second one I enjoyed. I liked Mickey Rourke as a scary Russian guy, and I think, I don't know. That's really the only one that I would ever watch again.
But. I really like the third one. I watched the third one, I think on DVD, way after it came out. So the second phase movies, I just stopped caring about them. And I caught this Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 on DVD. And then I saw Captain America 2 in theaters, which is what everybody loved, Winter Soldier. And by that point, I kind of had checked out of superhero movies. and I just didn't care for it.
See, I really like Winter Soldier.
Rewatching it, I think it's really good. But when I first saw it in theaters, I just said, oh, okay. So it's basically like every other superhero movie. It's just they're making it a political thriller. But it's at the end of the day, it's still a superhero movie.
Well, I feel like I disagree because I think I liked Winter Soldier a lot because it didn't feel like a superhero movie to me. Like, I didn't get the... Like, it felt more like a real-world action film where...
It was, but then CGI...
Like, it wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, but then it's like aircraft carriers are flying and it's just a CGI extravaganza. That aspect kind of turned me off. And then we saw Guardians of the Galaxy together, and we both thought, oh, wow, everybody's making a big deal out of this. It's really not that good. And then I kind of just, I don't know, I really didn't care. I fell asleep during Doctor Strange in the theaters. It wasn't until getting ready for Infinity War last year I decided to catch up. And I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 on Netflix. And all of a sudden, I thought, wow, I kind of like these characters. Like, the movie is not great, but I find them funny. Maybe I should rewatch the first one. And I rewatched the first Guardians, and I like it a lot better. And that kind of was, it was
the
like
change. Your conversion experience.
Because then I saw Spider-Man Homecoming, and I really liked Homecoming. I thought it was cute. And then I saw Ragnarok, and the first time I saw Ragnarok, I was like, okay, so some of this is really funny, but some of it is kind of cringeworthy. And then it just grew on me. And then we must have watched Ragnarok like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I really like Ragnarok.
It's my favorite out of all of them.
Like, you're right, because it's like I've had such an ebb and flow with all these movies. Like, me too, with Guardians, I initially didn't like it, and now I love it, so... I would say they're all, except for the Hulk, I would say at worst they're okay, and at best they're great. I think Ragnarok is great. I think Infinity War is great. I would say probably Black Panther and Captain Marvel are okay. I get why they're popular because they're very political, but I don't think they're amazing.
I mean, I think Black Panther is a much better movie than Captain Marvel. I just didn't really care for it.
Right. I also can't stand Michael B. Jordan. He pisses me off. It's like, get off your high horse, buddy.
Yeah, and see, that was... Everybody loved Killmonger.
I'm like, I can't stand this guy. He swags. He saunters in on diagonally. I'm like, oh, God, I can't stand him.
Do you want to talk about, like, your favorite 2 or 3? Just in more detail, or
what would my favorites be? Oh, okay. Well, but this will go into you too, though.
Okay.
About Drax.
Okay.
So, one of my favorite characters, I think both of our favorite characters, is Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. So, especially him in Infinity War when they find Thor floating in space, and they call him a pirate angel, and he's hysterical.
Yeah, Drax is...
He's really funny.
Drax is really, really good. Dave Bautista, the wrestler, is...
I like Rocket.
He's all the Guardians are good.
Yeah.
I mean, Groot, you have an opinion of Groot that I don't think the rest of the world shares, but...
You mean that I take a hedge clip or two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Groot pisses me off, but whatever.
But the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad for not liking it originally.
And I would say that Infinity War feels the most like Guardians.
Yeah.
Like, I think if
Infinity
any of
War
the,
could have been Guardians
yeah,
3.
Yeah, I think if any of the movies took... I don't want to say this. The biggest influence on Infinity War is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, well, Thanos shows up in the first Guardians.
Right, he's, I guess, the most connected
to
Guardians.
He's a character in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gamora's adopted father.
Yeah. who are your favorite villains, since that's near the villain miser?
Well, my favorite villain's Loki, hands down.
But he doesn't really stay a villain.
I love him. However, I don't think I've ever seen a villain more competent on screen than Thanos in Infinity War. He just completely cleans house.
Well, except for Cersei.
he's more competent than Cersei. He doesn't get thrown into a cell by fanatics.
Yeah.
By sparrows.
Yeah.
He just cleans house. Like, it's almost like, Loki was inept, everyone else was inept, and it's like, now Thanos finally got off his purple throne, and he does the job himself, and he does it in about 2 hours, and everything's his.
Yeah, it only took 10 years.
Snaps his fingers, like the Little John song. I wouldn't even say that I, like, love Thanos, but I like him. Like, I don't dislike him. I respect him.
He was the most interesting part of Infinity War.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. He was the main villain.
He's the main character.
But he was basically the protagonist of the movie. It focused on him the most, and, like, I've heard complaints of Infinity War is that it's too overstuffed with everything, which I think they did a really good job shoving 50 different characters. I think they did
a great job juggling, like, 40 characters.
If they had wanted to, say, make it a Guardians 3 and then insert, like, Iron Man and Captain America, it also probably could have worked, since it takes place in the Guardians. It takes place on other planets, mm-hmm. in outer space, and, like, the Guardians aspect is key to Infinity War.
I would say, out of the other villains,
Dormammu from Doctor Strange. No, I don't care about the giant floating head.
I don't even know if it's Dormammu, Gormammu, I don't care what he is.
Michael Keaton. Maybe.
Oh my god, Michael Keaton. Disgusting.
Michael Keaton's great, though.
He's so disgusting.
But he's great.
He's repulsive. So, who else? Yeah, what's his name? From Ego. In Guardians 2.
Yeah.
He's okay. I don't really like Ronan. Especially the fact that Captain Marvel just destroyed Ronan in, like, less than a minute. It's like, why couldn't she just show up for the Guardians?
She's off fighting her own battles out of the galaxy.
Yeah, whatever. Who else?
I like Jeff Bridges in Iron Man.
Who? that's how I feel about Iron Man. Mickey Rourke. I like Mickey Rourke. No one else likes him, but I like him. Red Skull, not really. I like Bucky. I mean, he doesn't stay a villain, but I do like him. Who's the villain in Civil War? Is it just...
Zemo.
The Russian guy.
But it really doesn't... He's kind of irrelevant.
Right, it's more the fact that the two sides are fighting.
Yeah.
Who would you like to talk about?
I really hated Ultron the first time I saw the movie.
I didn't finish it. Yeah, I had to come back and rewatch Ultron.
But rewatching it, I do like the character of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like James Spader's voice acting. He's kind of like a proto Thanos. Like, his whole idea is that, like, oh, humanity is corrupt, so therefore we need to replace them. And
Ultron, the Age of Ultron is also the reason we know why Hawkeye doesn't have his own movie. Because we got about half hour of, like, life at Hawkeye's house, and it was really boring. It's like, who cares about Hawkeye's kid and wife?
I like Hawkeye, though.
I know, but no one cares about his little ranch at home. Like, oh my god, they're stepping on Legos! Like, the kid's Legos!
Stepping on Legos is more dangerous than Thanos' snap.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I wish I could snap.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the movies now, trying to... They're all enjoyable. They're fun. Like, there are only a few that are kind of mind-blowingly good. And I would say, like, Ragnarok is my favorite because it's so out there. Yeah. It takes the comedy and the absurdity of Guardians and... I don't know. It's just weird.
Ragnarok?
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum's the real MVP of Ragnarok.
Oh my god, I forgot about him.
He is...
I almost want to say he's my favorite character.
In any of the Marvel movies?
I'm glad you reminded
me of him.
It's
like the Grandmaster.
It's Loki,
the Grandmaster.
And then it's the Grandmaster for me. Like, the Grandmaster's hysterical.
Yeah,
He's so weird.
And I would watch an MCU movie of just Jeff Goldblum being weird in space.
He should have a whole Grandmaster movie.
They should.
He's so funny.
And I really like comedy Thor more than
serious Thor.
So the first Thor movie, I know you've made this comparison that it feels like Lion King to you.
It's exactly Lion King.
Whereas I feel like Black Panther is exactly Lion King. Because it fits more because it's cats. The first Thor movie, because it was directed by Kenneth Branagh, who's a famous Shakespearean actor and director, so it has a Hamlet vibe, it has a Shakespeare vibe to it. And you have Anthony Hopkins, and it just has this, like, oh, they're doing this serious... For the Asgard scenes, because then he goes to Earth and he doesn't understand.
Right.
Like, how to order more coffee in a cafe. Right. Thor accepting that he's different from humanity, but playing it up for laughs, is... I just really love it. Like, when he shows... When he's in the Doctor Strange's house in Manhattan, and he's just constantly teleporting, and... Mm-hmm. I just find Chris Hemsworth really funny. Like, I think he's funnier than Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I like the two of them together.
Yeah, the two of them together.
Chris Pratt lowers his voice.
Yeah.
To imitate him.
That in Infinity War, yeah. But their Chris Hemsworth interactions with really any of the characters is a highlight.
Right.
Of the movies. Like, even in Ultron, when they're you have all the Avengers, when they're not fighting, they're all partying, and
well, Captain America tries to pick up the hammer,
and Thor things. Gets nervous because it looks like he's gonna actually move it
a little bit.
Like, he's just funny.
Yeah.
It's like you would expect, oh, like, the jacked, muscular, handsome guy wouldn't be hysterical, and he is. Whereas you have, like, Chris Hemsworth, who used to be, like, Mr. Tubby. He's now...
You mean Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt on Parks and Rec, and now he's, like, Jack, too. And he's still funny, but it's not as...
Oh, I also want to say...
...jarring as Chris Hemsworth.
I initially... So I guess I fat-shamed Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Because before the movie came out, before I saw anything, I said that Chris Pratt is, like, one chicken nugget away from being fat. And we watched Infinity War, and Rocket... almost verbatim said what I said. He's like, you're one cheeseburger away from fat Star-Lord. He said something like that.
I forgot. I was crying in the movie theater because
it was like they listened into my conversation and didn't cite their sources. Because I said that.
I completely forgot that.
Oh my God.
I was crying.
No one else was laughing as hard as
the two of us.
I'm like, oh my God, they know me.
What was the prediction that you had with Game of Thrones before that you were, oh, the Lannisters and the regard, yeah, that was, like, yeah. those moments
have,
are,
like,
in my mind
prophetic,
as being prophecies.
I'm a green seer.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that.
One cheeseburger away from that.
Yeah, I would watch a whole movie based around the Grandmaster, and I would watch a whole movie about Star-Lord and Thor.
And a whole
trying to
one up
one another. Yeah, just take all the Guardians and just stick them in new movies. So I'll hit myself on the wrist for my bad review of Guardians of the Galaxy 5 years ago.
So all the internet hate was warranted that you received.
Yeah, did I?
Yeah.
I got yelled at for it.
I don't remember. You posted something on Facebook, and everyone's like, "How could you not like this movie? Because like, it sucks." You're like, I hate everyone.
I mean, I think all of these Avenger movies are overhyped.
Yeah, you know what's funny? They have not advertised for this movie at all.
No, because everybody's gonna.
I guess everyone's gonna see. I watched it. No one knows it's coming out. I haven't seen. I have not seen. I don't think one commercial.
Well,
for this
they've
movie.
Advertised. The trailer is advertised online. And it's on an Instagram, so all the actors have like 50 million Instagram followers. So all Robert Downey Jr. has to do is post the movie, like, oh, April 26th, mm-hmm. and everybody knows about it.
Right.
It's just they're marketing to a different demographic.
Yeah. Well, it's like teenagers, I mean, I'm 9 years old, this. So
right.
I don't have an Instagram, thank God.
Right. So, and the first movie made what? Over a billion dollars. So, did it make two? It made a lot. I don't know. Like, all the people that saw it the first time are going to see the next one.
Disney's raking in the bucks, so. Yeah,
we counted 9 major movies from this year
yeah.
alone.
It's sickening.
You have the three.
Disney World's being free with the amount of money they made.
You have the 3 Marvel movies coming out. So it's Captain Marvel came out, Endgame, and then Spider-Man Far From Home.
Far From Home, yeah.
You have Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
What? I don't know what that is.
You have Dumbo, which came out. Aladdin.
I don't know what that is.
The Lion King. I don't know. All 3 live action remakes of the animated classics. Toy Story 4. Which you can't see Chris's face.
He just refused to watch. I'm boycotting that movie. Acted like he was having a stroke.
And then Frozen 2. Those are 9 movies. Dumbo's not doing super well for a Disney movie, but the other 8 are probably going to make $1 billion. And then Disney's also coming out with its own streaming service by the end of the year. And
Disney's the evil empire.
It's true. If you had to pick a franchise within the Marvel MCU, like what's the strongest? Like, you have Iron Man, you have Captain America, you have Ant-Man.
Oh, little franchise?
Yeah. Like, quality-wise, the Captain America movies are probably the best quality.
See, I think, well, maybe quality, but I think Guardians has the
most appeal.
Yeah, like I think that's the longest lasting. Yeah, I think you could pump out a lot more Guardians movies.
Well, I'm not talking about making more. I'm just saying
based no, but on I just think they're they have. Like, I see longevity there where Captain America kind of get dull.
Well, Captain America's over.
Right.
I mean, unless Bucky becomes the new Captain America, which is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would say I would put my money on Guardians.
Because I think it's basically what's going to happen. It's like Bucky's going to be the new Captain America. You're going to have, I mean, I think Chris Hemsworth is still signed on, so he'll probably show up as Thor again. Loki's going to have his own TV show.
Like, is that after this or before this?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, Ant-Man's going to be a player now, and Doctor Strange. It's like all the people introduced in Phase 2 and 3 are going to take over for Phase 1. I don't know. I mean, it kind of... We're going to be 90 years old, and we're going to be on Avengers 15.
Yeah, if it's still successful. I mean, this will eventually...
stop being successful. It's going to start gonna get the quality. Tired of this. Well, I don't think people will get tired of it if it continues to be good. If the quality starts dropping.
No, but this, I mean, it's almost like in the, I guess, 50s and 60s, you had the Westerns that were so popular, and like, how many Westerns do you have out now? Like, 0? Yeah. Where like I guess this is like
this generation. Well, we're in the age of superheroes right now.
And I mean, I could speculate about like reasons for that, but I think it'll end eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how well they do after the Thanos storyline is done. It's like, will people still care for like a bigger, badder Thanos? I don't know.
I mean, once Thanos is dead, what?
Right, it's like they need a new trajectory to go to.
That's why I've kind of never gotten into comics, because they're constantly being reset, and this person is really strong, and then it was like Dragon Ball Z, like watching anime Dragon Ball Z. Oh, we're fighting the most powerful person in the universe, and then it's like, okay, well now the next person's even more powerful.
Right.
The story kind of exhausts itself.
Yeah.
But Marvel has done something that hasn't been done before, and DC certainly has tried to replicate it, and they've fallen on their face countless times.
God.
So, we gotta give them credit, and they've made 22 movies so far, and only one is... And even the Hulk isn't terrible. It's just not... It's lesser than all the others.
Right.
So, yeah. So Endgame comes out at the end of the month. Game of Thrones premieres tonight.
Comes out in a few hours.
So by the time people listen to this, the first episode will have premiered, and you can tell us we're wrong about whatever we predicted.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good time to be a nerd.
For the throne. I'm going to have to start having palpitations in a few hours when Game of Thrones airs.
Winter is here, and Thanos' reign is going to come to an end. Thank you for listening.